Vrindavan Mahimamrita. This is September 19th, text 99. You have it?
Yes.
Kodharma, kodharma, qua, chavivida, maryadika, kata. Kabhadram, kaba, badram, qua, vishama, tristibhava, lava. Iha shimad Vrindavana bhuvi samastam sthira charam. Yari gyattam radhapati rati maha chid rasaganam. Radha pati rati maha chid rasaganam. If one can accept all inanimate and animate living entities of Vrindavan as possessing spiritual forms that are suitable to serve Radha and Krishna, then where is the question of religiosity and irreligiosity? Where is the question of rules, regulations, and reverence? Where is the question of good and bad? And where is the question of duality born of biased views? In other words, when one sees that this Vrindavan is transcendental and everyone else, everyone and everything in it is transcendental, then he lives in a transcendental realm of love. And love, there's no... In the Prem Dharma, everyone's serving Krishna, everyone's connected to Krishna. A very high type of vision. He's saying, what's the question of good and bad? Because in the spiritual world, there's no good and bad. This is morality. Dwanda, duality is based on this world. But there, everyone belongs to Krishna. Everything belongs to Krishna. Everything is connected to Krishna. Everything is serving Krishna. So what looks moral or immoral, that's our relative viewpoint based on duality. For Krishna, everything's absolute. His stealing is absolute. His adultery is absolute. It appears to be adultery. He's running and having affairs with other men's wives. So that's, from our perspective of duality, right and wrong, this is considered immoral. Because it's the wife of another. One wife belongs to one man and not a second man. So if a second man runs with that wife, then it's considered immoral, unjust, irreligious, adharmic. But in Vrindavan, everyone is Krishna's part and parcel. There's no other. There's only Krishna's. Krishna's mother, Krishna's girlfriends. Your wives are Krishna's wives. And just to understand that for we in the limited view, there different pastimes in Boma Vrindavan that were enacted to show that even Krishna was the husband of all those coward girls that he was dancing with. There's two pastimes. One is the marriage by Brahma at Bandiravan, where Krishna was with the gopis, and Brahma came down and he performed a marriage, an official, regular marriage, not a Gandharva marriage. And Radharani was given away by the Supreme Father, Brahma. Radharani was given to Krishna, and all the gopis were married. And the other pastime is when... So that makes the gopis all Krishna's wives. And then they grew up and they married somebody else. So they were like illegitimate husbands. Abhimanyu and Govardhan Mala, they were all actually illegitimate husbands. Krishna was the real husband. When there was the Brahma Vimohan Leela for 1 year... of earth time, Krishna's time, Brahma hid all the cows and calves in a cave. And then Krishna expanded himself into all the coward boys. Exactly, Sri Ram Subal, all of them. And then Purnamasi said, this is a very good year for marriage. So all the coward girls in Vrindavan should marry some boys. So they were all married. But they're all Krishna. All those coward boys were Krishna. So there's two very different pastimes which establish that Krishna, no one else is the actual husband, legitimate husband. And it's all Leela, Abhimanyu, and all these so-called husbands are also expansions of Krishna's body. So they're nothing but him. And it's a mood, it's a bhav. Because after all, what is a relationship anyway but a bhav? We have the bhav that this particular woman is my mother. If we change our bhav, we're born and we have a mother and she dies when we're two. And we're put in an orphanage. Then we're adopted when we're 2.5. And then that mother, a new lady becomes our mother. Because our other mother died and we were given for orphan. And we were adopted by some other mother. So now we develop a bhav that this is my mother. So how you have two mothers? So actually relationships are all based on bhav. There's the physical, he's my son, he's my daughter. This is also a bhav. It's a svabhav, it's a mentality. It's not real. So in Krishna's land, everything is a bhav. The gopis have, and here their bhav takes shape. Krishna gives shape to their bhav, so they actually have husbands who are none other than Krishna. Abhimanyu is an expansion of Krishna, but in the spirit, so they have the bhav, there is a body there, they can see it, there is a body there in the house, and interacting sometimes with Radharani, and there is a mother, Jatila, and all this. But in the spiritual world, there, then, Abhimanyu is just a bhav. Radharani does go to someone's house, and she does get married, and she goes to Yavat in the spiritual world. But there's no form of Abhimanyu. It's just a bhav that I have a husband. It's a concept. Like the demons are there in a concept, but here they take a form to represent different anarthas and have to be eliminated. But they have forms also there, the demons, but they're expansions of Krishna for his service. But here they represent different anarthas, and so different jivas take the role of that anartha. Different jivas that have an anartha, they take the form of a demon to support Kamsa's plan to kill Krishna. So like Keshi's there, Keshi's in the spiritual world, and he's simply a pet horse of Krishna. So obviously his Sandini Shakti is spirit transcendental. He's in Goloka Vrindavan. And Kali is there, but he's a pet cobra. And then Krishna sits on and rides up and down the Jamuna and Kaliya, like a jockey riding a horse. And Bakasura, they're all there. They're all represented there. So this, when we have this vision here, that this is all Leela. This is Krishna's Leela. We see Jatila here. We see Kutila here. And Abhimanyu and everyone is here. Of course, that doesn't mean that we can act immorally and be a sahajya or something like that. But in this particular verse, Prabhupada Saraswati is trying to change our vision. That in Krishna's land, there's no religiosity. There's no dharmart kam and moksha. Dharma is religiosity. There's simply Bhagavan and his leela. It's leela dham. Every movement is leela. There's no rules and yama and niyama and nisheda and dharma considerations and dharma shastras. It's simply the play of bhav and the play of leela. So where is the question of good and bad, and where is the question of duality born of biased vision? If one can accept that all the living entities, moving and non-moving, in Vrindavan have spiritual forms and they're serving Radha and Krishna, then he's transcendental. He's beyond religion and religiosity. And being transcendental, there's no question of impropriety in his behavior. There's no question of immorality. There's no question of kam, krodh, lobh, moha, matsari in his dealings. Because he's transcendental. He may be living in this prakriti plane, but he's living in his consciousness because he has the bhav drishti and he's seeing everything as part of Krishna's leela. So this is obviously the vision of someone like Prabhupada Saraswati. And he's saying, if you can have this vision, then you're transcendental. How do they say that verse in Gita, that Saganan Samatityaitan? Amam Chiyo Abhicharina Bhakti. When your bhakti is of this caliber, then Gunatita, you become Atita, you become victorious over the modes of nature. They have no more any influence. Dharma and religiosity, they're all manipulated, they're all to control one in the modes of nature. When one leaves the modes of nature, there's no more dharma. The perfection of dharma is to get free from dharma. That's why it starts with dharma and ends with moksha. Moksha means free from dharma. Right? Dharma art kam moksha. Dharma teaches you, you get enrolled in Dharma, a path of formulated worship, rules and regulations, some structured life, to come to unstructured life, either totally unstructured, formless Brahman, or the unstructured life of love and lila and Prajadam. So that's also moksha. Mahadoshir adyam nakalu guna lashashya vishayam. Na yogyam drikpate patep yahaha sadhayanam chamhatam. Sadurmarshe swasmin asakrit aparadir api jutam. Suttam mateva tvam visrija bhata vrinda tavi namam. I am full of faults and devoid of any good qualities. Alas, I am not even qualified to approach the great souls who are full of compassion. I commit many unforgivable offenses. Still, O Vrindavan, forest of Vrindavan, do not reject me, for you are like my mother, and I am like your son. It's a very common theme here about this mother program, Mother Vrindavan, Mata Braj. If the moving and stationary living entities here in the land of Vrindavan understand the sweet spiritual nectar of the amorous pastimes of Radha's lover, Shyam, then where is religion for them? Where is irreligion? Where is the slightest word of the various rules of social etiquette? Where is auspiciousness and inauspiciousness? Where is even the faintest glimpse of pain and trouble? The same basic translation we read already. If you're living in the understanding of Radha and Krishna's amorous love, then you made it. 96. I am filled with great faults. I don't have the slightest trace of virtue. Alas, it is not proper for the merciful devotees to even glance upon me. I'm so wretched. Again and again I have committed inexcusable offenses to you, Vrindavan. Still, O Vrindavan, you are like my mother, and I am like your son. Do not abandon me. Visrija. Visrija means, says, Sutam Mateva. Certainly you, Mateva Tvam, certainly you are my Mata, and I'm your Sutta. Vrindavan Sutta, like we say, Ramaharshan Sutta. Sutta Goswami. Brindatavi Namam. Sudurmarshe Swasmin Nasakrida Paradir Jutam. Mahadosh Eradyam. Mahadosh, I am full of faults. Gunalesha. You can't find a lesha. You can't even find a trace of a good quality in me. These are prayers of repentance and, what do they say, it's sharanagati, surrender, submission. Different levels of prayers, sharanagati. Like Gopinath, there's a prayer of Gopinath by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It comes under the category, there's about 50, 60 bhajans he wrote and under the category of sharanagati. And that's one of them. I'm a wretched materialist, driven by lust, O Gopinath, what will become of me? Please help me. Very nice prayer. So Vrindavan, Prabhupada Saraswati is in the same mood. 97. Mahamudham paper guru bir akile shochiyam masatam api swapne pishan na natahari tad bhakta charanam sakalyano Payasharam asharanam mam avagune shama vatsalya dir ati mahita Vrindavana nije. O most worshipable Vrindavan, since I am the most foolish person, I am engaged in grave sinful activities. Maha mudha. I'm not only a mudha. Avajanati ma mudha. Manushim tanamashitam. Prambhavam janato. Mama bhuta maheshwaram. a big fool. Fool number one, as Prabhupada would say. Mahamudha means fool number one. Once one disciple was with Prabhupada, walking with Prabhupada, and he said, "Oh, Prabhupada, you know, I'm fool number one. I'm a number one fool." And Prabhupada said, "You're not a number one anything," because he could detect that in that statement that there was ego, false ego. He was taking pride in being fool number one. Saying, "Prabhupada, I'm fool number one. And I'm not number two or three or five. I'm fool number one." And then Prabhupada said, "You're not fool number anything. You're just fool. You're just plain, ordinary, sadharani mudha. Ordinary, commonplace fool. You're not number one or two. You don't even win place or show. You're such a bad fool. You didn't even win the full race or come in second or third. You're not number one anything." Like some people say, "Oh, I'm the lowest of the low." Acha, now you're taking pride in being the lowest of the low. So that's I'm more about, what is it? "I am the most foolish person I'm engaged. I am more abominable than the non-devotees. I have never glorified Lord Hari or his devotees, even in my dreams. I am totally hopeless about my own benefit. Please maintain this fallen soul with your qualities of forgiveness and affection, Shama and Vatsalya. Adi, Vatsalya Adi. Beginning with, first be affectionate to me, then forgive me." You can't forgive someone until you show affection. First comes the affection, change of melting of the heart, then the forgiveness. So he's saying, Vatsalya Adi, Shama. Shama Vatsalya Adi, Adya, beginning with Ati Mahita. His fallen soul. Mahamudam Paper Guru Bir Akile Shochian Asatam. Swapne Pishan Natahari Tad Bhakta Charanam. 97. "I'm a great fool who has committed every grievous sin." Amen. "Even the lowest of men pity me. Even in a dream, I never worship the lotus feet of Lord Hari or his devotees. I do not act for my own welfare. I have no shelter, O Vrindavan. You are very glorious because you are so tolerant, affectionate, and virtuous. Please protect me." Ati Mahita. I guess that means you have exceptionally amazing glories and qualities. Mahima. "Your Shama Vatsali Ati Mahita Vrindavana Nijay." Vrindavana Nija. These are your qualities. Forgiveness and affection. And this, what does it say? This one here says 98. "Tava preshta dvandvam turamala nikunjeshu viharat sadaivon maryadam nahi vidi nishedari kalayet rameshitros tatvam kimapi paramam dhyana rasadam tatastvam mam vrindavana na visrijoch chin kala mati." O Vrindavan, within the enchanting groves of your land, your most beloved divine young couple, the objects of Lord Narayan and Lakshmi's meditation, enjoy unlimited pastimes. They are beyond the jurisdiction of rules and regulations. Vrindavan, even though I'm restless, please do not reject me. So, tatas tvam mam Vrindavan na visrij joch trinkala. Rameshritos tattvam kim api paramam dhyana rasadam. It's interesting, this translation. It says, Lakshmi and Ryan are meditating in Radhasham's Kunja Leelas. Another translation. Eternally enjoying limitless transcendental pastimes in your groves, the Kunja Vihar. Nikunja viharat sadeva. Your beloved divine couple do not see any rules or prohibitions to restrict them. You bring the sweet nectar of meditation on them. O boundlessly wise Vrindavan, please do not abandon me. So, it's quite an interesting translation. These two translators are saying that in one translation from this hardbound book that's published in Vrindavan, it says that Lakshmi and Narayan are meditating on Radha and Krishna and the groves of Vrindavan. Nikunja viharat sadeva. But we don't see that anywhere in the verse. There's the name of Lakshmi and Narayan. Well, there's Rameshritos Nishedadi Kaliyet Rameshritos Tatvam. So I think this is a little bit better translation. Eternally enjoying limitless transcendental pastimes in your groves, Vrindavan, your beloved divine couple, Radha and Krishna, are not restricted by any types of rules and regulations. You bring the sweet nectar of meditation on them. O boundlessly wise Vrindavan, please do not abandon me. So that's a very nice idea. Much different. If you live in Vrindavan, the sweet nectar of meditation on Radha and Krishna, dhyanam rasadam, paramam dhyana rasadam, dhyana rasa, it gives this flavorful, the topmost flavorful meditation, parama dhyanam. Yogis are doing dhyanam, and so many people are doing meditation on various ideas or concepts or mantras. But this is rasadhyan. Rasadhyan is something extraordinary. Rasadhyan means the lila ras, the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. It's paramam dhyanam. Paramam dhyanam rasadham tatastvam mam. So Vrindavan creates this type of flow, creates this type of facility for the mind to travel on the vibrations that are moving in Vrindavan. The mind can easily travel on those vibrations and penetrate the coverings of the universe and enter the Leela Dham of the Lord. That's why all the devotees, great devotees of the Lord, when they would come to do meditation, they would come to Vrindavan, the devotees of Radha and Krishna. They would choose a particular Leela Stali, which is saturated with the Leela Shakti of the Lord. And by the power of their bhajan and the strength of their purity and surrender, they would engage in meditation, Leela Dhyanam. And then, by the mercy of Yoga Maya, they would be granted entrance into those pastimes, Asakalya Leela Pravesh. And then they would relish the rasa of the Leela Ras in those pastimes. So this is the power of Vrindavan. Simply by a spark of the, just a vague touch with the power of Vrindavan, one gets liberated. And Brajadham is such an amazingly transcendental place that just a speck of dust lying on your forehead at the time of death can liberate you from birth and death. This is the potency and power of this land. There's so much power here that sinners become saints by walking here, and the fallen become raised by living here. And the devotees who live here, they attain siddhi and samadhi by staying here. It's all the blessings of Vrindavan, very powerful land. So he's saying there that I'm restless, even though I'm restless, is one translation, and please do not reject me. And then the other one says, O boundlessly wise Vrindavan, do not abandon me. So he's saying, one's applying it to himself and the other's applying it to Vrindavan. Restlessness means boundlessly wise. So Vrindavan brings the sweet nectar of meditation on them. Many devotees have come and spent some time in Vrindavan, and then they go elsewhere to cities around India, around the world. And they say, oh, when I was in Vrindavan, it was so much easier to chant. Even this simple practice of sadhana, shravanam kirtanam, even if it may be devoid of smaranam, becomes much easier in the middle of the power of Vrindavan. This is a perceivable experience by any sensitive sadhaka, that chanting is easier, bhakti is easier. I remember in the early days, in the 77, and then again I came, 77, then 80, and 81, and every year after that, and lived for several months or two or three at a time in Vrindavan. And especially in the early 80s, Vrindavan was so much saturated with bhakti. I used to feel that the atmosphere was thick with devotion. Everywhere people were saying Jai Radhe, and the pace of life was 1,000% slower than it is now, 1,000% slower. And people were satisfied with simple bungalows and earning big profits, but simply buying land here and there and putting in the post office or whatever. No one cared about fixing up their houses. No one had a car. Everyone in the village of Vrindavan, if they wanted to go anywhere, they call a taxi from Mathura. But now every single Goswami and everybody has a private car, 1, 2, 3. It's a whole different Vrindavan. But still, it's the Lila Shakti is there. Saints, they perfect their bhajan and Seva Kunj and Nidivan. Haridas Swami came 500 years ago and did his bhajan. A Nidiban, and he had darshan of Banki Bihari. So this is the power of the land. It's like a supercharger. You may have a car that has a certain horsepower engine and gives a certain amount of performance, but then you put a turbocharger on it and it increases the performance and the speed by 25% because it controls the gas flow to the carburetor and all these kind of things. Sparking and all these things. They have these such facilities. So Vrindavan is a turbocharger for bhakti bhajan. And this is what he's trying to mention here, that don't abandon me because I need the mercy, I need this blessing. And this is the sweet nectar of meditation on them. This is why it's called dhyanam. Usually, dhyan is considered a very passive, non-tasty experience. It's simply passive slumber, you can say, eternal slumber in samadhi or meditation of dhyan. Close all the senses, even they have terms in Patanjali's Yoga Sutra. It's chitta viroda, something like that. Called something like that, chitta viroda, that you stop all the movements of the mind, all the movements and all the waves and vibrations of the mind. You completely stop the movements of the mind. Krishna mentions this point in his explanation of yoga because in chapter 6 of the Bhagavad Gita, this is a summary of Patanjali's Yoga Sutras. So in there he says that the mind of the yogi is like a candle burning in a windless place. There's the slightest bit of movement or a little bit of breeze or gentle wind, anything. The candle flame will be flickering and dancing side to side. It won't be fixed and burn steadily. The flow is steady, but the environment influences. So the life energy, the prana, is steady but disturbed by the mind. So the meditating yoga, he through pranayama, the prana is a steady flow and the mind burns with a steady flame, doesn't move one way or another. So this is the experience in dhyana of the yogi, that the mind is totally peaceful. But he's saying the same thing. This is a dhyan, paramam dhyanam rasadam. That this dhyan, meditating on the Nikunja Viharat Sadeva, Nikunja, Amala Nikunja Vihar Sadeva, those eternal blissful sports of Radha and Krishna, that Dvandvam, Dvanamala, that Tava Preshta, that topmost of all pair, Tava Preshta Dvandvam, they're enjoying in the Nikunjas, Nikunja Yuno Ratikeli Siddhai. And when one meditates on those Nikunja Leelas, then he enters the topmost form of meditation, and it produces so much taste that his mind, although totally absorbed in the Leela, it's a very interesting thing, because his mind is totally fixed and totally shattered. It's totally concentrated in one point, but at the same time, when one is meditating Paramam Dhyanam Rasadam, then the rasa, the bhakti rasa, moves the mind in such ways that the mind expresses sattvic bhavs through the body. So the prana transforms through the contact with the bhakti rasa, and then the prana leaves, one level of the prana leaves the mind and combines with the water of the body to create tears of love, and combines with the air of the body to create trembling, combines with the fire of the body to create perspiration. So this is the bhakti yogi who is meditating, that he simultaneously, it appears that he's disturbed, but he's completely in samadhi. He's in the samadhi, lila pravesh, but he's trembling or perspiring, or maybe some other gona ratis, he may be laughing, hasiras. But he's locked in samadhi so much so that he doesn't even know if someone comes and sees him or speaks. Rupa Goswami was in such a state of samadhi. Paramam dhyanam rasadam and sevakunj. And he was meditating on the leelas of Radha Damodar, Rupa Goswami and Radha Govinda. And some sadhu baba came to see him. And he was a limping person. He had a bad leg, so he was somewhat deformed. So he went and he paid a visit. He said, "Oh, Baba, righty, righty, you know, Kikorcho, how's your bhajana?" This, that. And then Rupa Goswami's eyes were closed, totally lost in his samadhi of Leela Smaran, Paramam Dhyanam Rasadam, and he was laughing. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, Radharani just splashed Krishna and forced him to close his eyes, and he's putting his hands in front of his face, and all the gopis are bombarding him with water, and he's saying, "Stop, stop, uncle, 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 stop, stop." And so he's seeing his Leela and laughing, because his mind is transformed with ecstasy. And that sadhu thought, "Rupa Goswami is laughing at me." So then he went away, he took some offense. And then when he went away and felt that offensive, felt that he was offended, then Rupa Goswami came from that meditation. He lost that paramam dhyanam rasadam and came to bhaya chitta, external consciousness. And again he tried to enter Leela. I couldn't go. So then he consulted with his brother, Shiksha Guru Sanatana Goswami. He said, "This is my experience." And then Sanatana Goswami, he's very learned, obviously. He said, "Maybe you made some offense somewhere, somehow." So then they inquired here and there from different people, and somehow Jiva Goswami or someone understood that this person came. So then Rupa Goswami went and begged forgiveness from him and brought him some prasad and this and that, and said, "It's like this. I'm sorry. I was lost in meditation." So this is the unique experience of the bhakta. It's parama dhyanam rasadam. So this is being presented to us by Prabhupada Saraswati, that don't leave me Vrindavan and don't throw me away. Give me the sweet nectar. Grant me meditation on the beautiful transcendental pastimes which are going on right now in your groves. Vrindavanam pratyajat ekam padam ekam padam agachati. Radha and Krishna never leave your land. So please don't abandon me or let me abandon you. The let me stay here forever, life after life. Because sometimes we see that someone may live in Vrindavan and their whole life be born here, live here. Then in the next life they may be born somewhere else. It's impossible. And then they're stuck over there. They're born there in another country, and then they grow up. But then they come to know about Vrindavan, and then they hanker to come back. And they try so much to come back. And finally, somehow, by the mercy of Guru and God, they get back to the land of Vrindavan, next birth or even this birth. So it's no guarantee that we're here in Vrindavan now, we'll be here next life or even next year or whatever. So it creates a deep appreciation for the opportunity and privilege one has for living in Vrindavan. At the same time, it creates intense humility. So he's showing that he came from South India, Prabodhananda Saraswati. He was not born here. He migrated here by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, by Guru Kripa, and Bhagavan Kripa, Vaishnava Kripa. He was granted Vas, Brajavas, and Kaliyadaha. And by the mercy of course, that's his Sadaka Leela. By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, he had all these wonderful experiences and realizations. Oh, boundlessly wise Vrindavan, please do not abandon me. 11th Sataka, verse 1, 11, 1. Sat sange nyas nasya bhalam nijamimam atidush cheshtam ucher amedhya kridham Sudhva paradhan sakarana mati samridja vitam rajobi hatmesham premadivyam stanabaram amalam payitva sumataha shimadbrindatavi tam sahaja niravadi snehapure viraksha. Oh dear mother, Sri Vrindavan. Sumata. Sumata Srimad Vrindatavi. Srimad Vrindatavi. 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 You, Sahaja Niravadi. By nature, you are by nature, you are unlimitedly affectionate. Aviraksha. Raksha. I am very sinful and impure. Please consider me your child and give me shelter on your lap. Please cleanse my body by removing the contamination of passion while tolerating my offenses. Please protect me completely by feeding me breast milk in the form of nectar and transcendental love for your beloved young couple. Stanam baram. Stanam bharam mamalam payitva sumata. Prema divya, divya prem, atmesham. Stana bharam, your plump breasts, your heavily laden breasts. That pure milk, amala payitva. Give me that milk and protect me. Raksha, aviraksha. Always protect me. This is a breast milk, transcendental love for Radha and Krishna. Divya Prem. That's a very nice, interesting translation. Please cleanse my body. You just see the imagery of what's being portrayed here in this particular translation. We see when Krishna comes back from Uttara Ghosh to Leela, he has Goduli and Brajaduli sprinkled on his head and hair and body, face. Looks very beautiful in one way, especially attractive. Mother Yashoda, she sits Krishna on her lap, and with the combined streams of the Ganga flow of her tears pouring forth from her eyes and the spontaneous flow of milk from her breast, and she washes Gopal's body, cleanses his face with the edge of her sari. She wets it with her tears and breast milk and cleans it, the dust from Krishna's face and arms and hands and feet, and washes him, caresses him in her lap, removes the contamination and dirt from the pasturing grounds. So here he's saying that this is a mother. A mother picks up her baby. He's running here and there, fell in the dirt, has dust on his face. So we fell in the dirt, Rajagun. We got dirty. Our little baby souls, the baby of our souls is running here and there in the dirt of Maya. And we fell in the dirt and got covered with lust and greed, byproducts of passion. So this is a contamination on the pure baby soul. So the mother, who's our mother for the baby? Who's the mother for the baby soul? The mother for the baby soul is Vrindatavi Mata. Sumata Vrindatavi, Vrindavata, Vrindatavi. Sumata, she's a super mom. Like they have these terms now, super mom and things like that. My mom is a super mom. So super mom means Sue for super. Mata for mom. super mom means Sumata. So he says Sumata. And Sumati Maharaji. Sumati Maharaji. she's a Sumata of ISKCON. Right? She's the mother of ISKCON. Because she gave Prabhupada a ticket on her steamship. Let's look at another translation. So I'm contaminated, so please wash off all my offenses. And when the child is bad, the mother doesn't say, you're bad, get lost, find another mother. He says, okay, you're bad, but come sit in my lap. It's all right, you'll get over it. You get punished, but sit in my lap. So the child always gets shelter in his mother's lap. No matter what he does, I'm very sinful and impure. But still, I'm your child, so I deserve shelter in your lap. So a son may go out and commit sins or robbery or murder or whatever. But still, his mother is his mother. And she can sit on his lap and she can embrace him and rub his face and rub his head, even though he may be the worst of sinners. Oh, Mother Vrindavan, oh, Mother overflowing with love, please place me on your lap, this mischievous child of yours who has been playing in the dirt. Please mercifully forgive his offenses. Wipe the dust from him. Feed him the breast milk of transcendental love for your master and mistress, and give him all protection. Same basic idea. The main thing is get on the lap. Everyone has a laptop, but we're supposed to be on the top of the lap of Vrindavan. This is the idea being conveyed here. Everyone has a laptop. Sitting on top of their lap, right? But we should be on top of the lap of Vrindavan by taking shelter of Vrindavan. Our mother. The child's place is in the lap of his mother. Text 2. Dharma basop yahaha. Dharma basop yahaha. Nahi me neva papach chabitir. Na Sri Krishna Rati Rapina Me Suridam Satameshu Kintwat Yantatata Janim Imam Swapravishtam Katachid Gyatwat Yantagatim Avikrita Sri Kriyam Manyase Chet. Alas, I do not have the slightest attraction for religiosity. I am not afraid of sinful activities. I have no attraction for Krishna. I have no friendship with saintly persons, but somehow or other, I have entered your land of Vrindavan. You have accepted this most unfortunate and misguided fallen soul. Now please maintain me. Dharma Bhas. Not even a semblance of religion you'll find in me. Papach cha bitir na biti bhayam. I'm not afraid of committing sins. Sri Krishna Rati apina. Krishna Rati. Attachment, attraction for Krishna, Radha and Krishna. Koine. I don't have any. And Suridam Satama. with the satas, with the eternally existent. Satta means existence. So those that are existing, the sattama, existing beyond the modes, the saintly persons and sadhus, I have no tight friendship with them, suridam. But somehow I've entered your land. So please think about that and be kind to me. Another translation. I do not possess even the slightest dim reflection of piety. That's interesting. Yeah, Abbas, reflection. I do not possess even a dim reflection of dharma or piety or religiosity. I have no fear of sin. I have no love for Krishna. And I have no friendship with the devotees. Still, somehow I am able to spend my little lifetime within your boundaries. Please know that I have no other shelter. Please, if you think it is right, accept me forever. So he's petitioning Vrindavan. He's saying, somehow I snuck into the movie. I didn't pay the ticket. I don't know the owner. But somehow I got in here and I'm hardly qualified to be here. But now I'm here. So now I want to beg you something. A very nice petition he's giving here. He said, please, now somehow I got in here, please accept me. I didn't have a qualification to go to college, but I started attending classes. And then I was doing well. And then the dean said, you're not even enrolled. I said, well, can you please accept me anyway? All right, we'll make an exception. I'll pay your tuition fees. You're an exceptional, precocious student. With an amazing IQ, so we'll help you out. So this is the point. If you think it's right, accept me forever. This is the resolve. This is the sankalpa that a serious Brijvasi has. Most of the Brijvasis that live here, if you ask them, do you want mukti or swarga, or you want to go back home, back to Godhead, they say, this is my Godhead, this is my back home, this is my swarga. Brajadam forever. They have these t-shirts, I love my India or something, or not t-shirts, but they paint it on the back of tractors. It's something I've seen on the back of tractor, the back side of the tractor, whatever they call it. You know, what's the back? The trailer. The trailer behind the tractor carrying all the dirt and stump bricks and whatnot. They write, oftentimes they write in English, maybe in Hindi also. I love my India. Village Bhav, provincial Bhav. Vrishvasis, they love their Vrindavan. I mean, it's unbelievable when you meet some Brijvasis, how much rati. Talk about Sri Krishna rati. They have Sri Krishna dham rati. They have intense rati attachment and love for the dham of Vrindavan. For example, one man is 80 years old. He's had cataracts for 10 years. He can't see properly at all. Everything is just shadows. He can't see. Can't see the deities. He can't see. And there's an eye camp going on in Agra, which is 1 hour away. And you can go there in 1 hour and get a free operation and can see again the deities. He said, no, I can't leave my Vrindavan. I have lived here life after life and I don't want to offend Radharani by leaving Vrindavan. If I go to Agra for my sense gratification, Radharani may not accept me again. So he considered that if I go to Agra and get my eyes fixed up so I can see the Murtis and see Radharani and Giriraj, that maybe Radharani will reject me because I left her holy land. There are Brijvasis like this. There are Brijvasis that have never, there's Brijvasis live at Radhakund that have never been to Barsana. I said, you've ever been to Barsana? I said, no, why I go there? I said, well, it's Radharani's birthplace and so many leelas. I don't know. I know Radharani's here. Why I go? If she's here, why I should go there? I say, okay. Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Please bless me with that type of bhava and vision. You're going there, but why go there? I should ask you, why are you bringing this subject up? Why are you talking about going to Varsana? Why are you talking about going anywhere? There are Brijvasis that live Radhakunda, don't do Govardhan Parikrama. And they feel very bad if they have to go to Govardhan town to buy some special supplies or something. So I was in Maya, I went to Govardhan. There are Brijvasis that live at Radhakunda. Oh, this year I had to go to Govardhan to buy something I couldn't buy over here. It was an emergency. So I was in Maya. I felt so terrible. They explain when I left the circle of Radhakund, I feel that Radhakund and Shyamakund are the arms of Radha and Shyam. And when I'm living inside these arms, I feel like I'm being embraced by the arms of Radha and Krishna.